Tonight we want to especially give the Lord thanks for the fact that 60 years ago our country was delivered from the curse of fascism. And thank God no foot of Hitler's troops ever stood on the British Isles soil. And when one thinks of what happened in France and in Germany and in Italy and the scourge that fascism was, we should all be grateful to God. I was just thinking today, if the men hadn't got away across as the expeditionary people of the British Army, if they hadn't got away and if God didn't bless those little boats to bring them away, we would have been at a prey to Germany, and probably to this day the jackboots of Germans would have been ruling this country. But God delivered us. And then we had the battle in the air, and God used those men and the little Hurricane fighters, Spitfires, to do the job. If that battle had been won, Hitler could have got his troops over. And then everybody knows about the anxiety of Normandy and also the landings in Italy. I had a cousin of mine who is buried in Italy. He laid down his life there. Those were terrible days. But God brought us through, and we need to give God thanks. Let us never forget what God has done for us. And I might say that next Lord's Day evening, we are going to have our Thanksgiving for what happened in our country. I hear that the boxes will be good in the council elections as well. So we'll have a double celebration. And some of the newly elected, first-time elected MPs will join us, and many of the candidates that fought in that election. That's next Lord's Day. And one of the candidates, yours truly, will be here to preach next Sunday evening in the will of God. The clerk of our Kirk session, our brother W.P., is with us, and he wants to have a word with us now.
My first words this evening is a word of thanks to my fellow elders for giving me the privilege of once again standing here to witness a great victory that God wrought in our land. I want to first of all to say thank you to every sister and brother who prayed for me that I would be able to come here this evening hour. Twice I was at death's door. And I believe God's going to spare me. I've asked Him to spare me to stand once again when this good friend and brother in Christ gets the position in this land that God has for him as the leader and complete charge of this little land of Ulster. I trust you'll understand my weakness tonight. These old legs of mine, they're not as good as they used to be. But I trust that you'll understand and bear me up in prayer. I want to say this evening that it's a great thrill and a great joy for me once again to bring congratulations to our good pastor and beloved friend in Christ for all that God has accomplished in him and through him. Those of us that can go back many years know just the trials and the tears that were shed. But God is faithful, and God is a God of truth. And with that tonight, this evening, my sisters and brethren, we've come to a place where truth has prevailed, and I know it will prevail. And I want to say this evening, as we wish him every bit of God's blessing, but I want to say this today. I forgot it the last night. I was congratulating him when we done so well the last time, but this has been a real miracle of God's grace. his dear wife. I forgot her at the last to mention her. But here's a woman that stood by her husband through thick and thin, through tears and a heartache, and has supported him. And even in these past months, when he was so ill, has stood by him and helped him. And God has put his hand upon him. Now, I was speaking to one of our elders of another church. He said this to me. He said, I was at Lisburn last Sunday morning when Dr. Paisley was ministering the word of God at their anniversary services. And he said, I can say this without any fear of contradiction, that he's preaching better than ever. God has put his hand upon him, and God has blessed him. And I know God will bless him in the future as he leads this little province of Ulster. And what a thrill it was to see that band of men that have stood for God now raised up to lead this country under the leadership of Dr. Paisley. And I want this evening on your behalf, behalf of the session of this church and the committee and every member of it, I want Dr. Paisley to say thank you for all you've done. And I would say to God be the glory.
Thank you.
And we want to give him all the praise and the honor. May God bless you in the days that lie ahead. And as I said, I trust God will spare me to see you in this seat of honor that is yours by, I believe, sovereign right.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
God bless you.
Thank you very much.
God bless you.
I thank our clerk of session for that word of encouragement. And if I hadn't had this church with me in all the battles, I never have made it. But praying people mean a difference. And praying people bring love with their prayers and assurance of their strength in the day when others would be weak. So I give you all thanks from the depth of my heart. And of course, my greatest thanks is to the Lord. But I have more to say about that next Lord's Day evening in the will of the Lord. Turn to Psalm 103. It is at page 632 in the Old Testament scriptures. Page 632, the Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all of thine iniquities, who healeth all of thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass,
as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord in all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then turn over to the epistle to the Galatians. The Galatian epistle at the chapter 5. And I want to read with you just a few verses from the end of that chapter. Fifth chapter of Galatians and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of being glory, provoking one another, envying one another. And God will seal these two readings, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament, to our hearts this evening. I was greatly blessed this week in my personal reading, in my private devotions, of Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And it was very early in the morning when I was reading this. You were probably having your beauty sleep, but I was reading this portion. And I noted something. I noted that this is a psalm with many awes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And so I did a little bit of counting. I learned to count at Bellarmine Model School. There they did the 3 hours regularly. Reading, writing, and arithmetic. And I tell you, if you didn't learn them, you got well smacked. So if you wanted a smacking, you didn't learn. It was learning by the cup in many ways. But I counted these, and I discovered there were 9 of them. And then I thought for a moment, and I said, that's the number of the fruit of the Spirit. There's not 9 separate fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit has 9 characteristics. We're reading about that in Galatians. And then I said to myself, I'm sure the first all has something to do with the first section of the fruit of the Spirit is love. Fruit of the Spirit is love. And I went down them all, and of course, to my amazement, they all fit in. If you have eyes to see, you'll see that this Psalm is asking us to have the fruit of the Spirit. And if we have the fruit of the Spirit, all the blessings of this Psalm will be ours. If you look at the first one, all that is within me. And the first section of the fruit of the Spirit is love. What is in a believer? Well, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. And of course, Christ is in us the hope of glory. And then I realized that we are having something here that is tremendous. I often thought of the Spirit of God who prays within our hearts and makes intercessions for us in our heart. But here we have the Savior in our heart. What is he doing? He's applying to us in the depths of our being the love of God that passeth knowledge and all understanding. So when I have a real time of praising the Lord, it is Christ within me that is enabling me to praise God for himself. For Christ is love. Christ is love. And he has imparted to us his precious love. Then we come secondly. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. In fact, these nines run in threes. Love, joy, and peace is the relationship that we have with God. And then after that comes long suffering, gentleness, and goodness. And then we have, of course, the wonderful relation that we have with the outward world as we have to battle with it, faith, meekness, and temperance. So there are two series of threes here. But in the first series, we have love, and then we have joy. Count your blessings. Name them score by score. And it will surprise you, there are millions more. My, if God's people only got that into their heart, they would take the miserable vinegar look of their faces. And the people would say, what's wrong with him? Nothing wrong with him. He's living where God wanted them to live. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, there is love. But bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. There's the joy. And we can rejoice in the benefits that God has given us. And if I started to recount tonight the benefits, we'll be here next week for the last meeting of the session. Let me tell you, God has given you many benefits. Many benefits. When I go canvassing in Ballymena, I meet some of my old school friends. Now, in the days when I went to the model school, the classes were big. There was about 40 and 50 in each class. And in my years there, I now have only five. Think of it. Five schoolboys' friends that I sat with in that school. They're all gone. I was saying to one, I went up and shook him by the hand. He says, do you know me? And I said, no, I don't. But I think I have an idea where you and I met. Yes, we met in the model school.
And he said, you know, Ian, there's only five left of that class. And I said, well, if that is so, then you make sure you're ready where you're going to. Oh, he says, I'm all right, Ian. I've Christ in my heart. I tell you, we should thank God for God extending us our period of time on earth. And we're all going on. And some of us are going higher. And some of us are still on the track to hell. Oh, turn. Because God has benefits for you, sinner. He can forgive your sins and we shall see. And then look again at verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. I'm glad it doesn't say some of my iniquities. I'm glad it doesn't say the big sins are taken care of, but your answer for the small sins. Thank God there's no purgatory in the Bible. You know, when you die, if you're saved, you go straight to heaven, washed in the blood of the Lamb, sweeping through the gates of the New Jerusalem, washed in the blood of the Lamb. If you're there in heaven before I get there, you'll one day have a commotion at the gates as I am coming through. I'm going to shout the greatest hallelujah I could ever shout to get there, to be there. Forget not all his benefits. The benefits, those are the things that bring joy to our heart. But then look at the next one. And what is it? It says, who forgiveth all their iniquities, who healeth all their diseases. God is a great healer. The worst disease you ever had was the disease of sin. But thank God he can heal it. And I'll tell you something more. He can also heal the effects of sin. I don't believe in a religion that tells me God will forgive the sin and we'll bear the effects of it to the end of our days. I believe that God can take away the effects of sin. And he can give us healing, and we have to pray one for another that you may be fooling these things all your days. No, that you may be delivered from them. There's deliverance with God. Phyllis said to me one day, why do you feel so well? Well, I said, I've the great healer in my heart. And if you have Christ in your heart, you should know the healing power. Now, I don't say that that means we'll be immunized from the infirmities of the flesh. Well, not. But we can get God's healing touch. And we can walk in the enjoyment of that healing touch. He healeth. It says, heal all thy diseases. Yes. And then when we come further down, we find that he executeth judgments for all that are oppressed. And of course, in that one there, the fifth one, there is gentleness. In the diseases, there's long suffering. Is the fourth one in Galatians, and it's the fourth all in this psalm. But then we come to gentleness, and he executes judgments for all that are oppressed. God has a gentle hand. There's nothing, no hand more gentle than the hand of Jesus. I have very cold hands. That's why I have such a warm heart. And when I was a boy, my mother used to suffer from terrible headaches. And she used to say to me, Ian, leave your hand on my forehead. And I would leave my hand on her forehead. She said, that's very relieving. But she says, son, I hope you know what it is to have the hand, the nail-pierced hand of Jesus on your heart. Oh, how gentle is the hand of Jesus. Sometimes he has to chastise us. But the chastisement that hits us from the Lord is still wielded by his gentle hand. Oh, the gentleness of Christ. There's a word that says, thy gentleness has made me great.
how great does the gentleness of Christ's hand help the people of God in their days, executing judgment for all that are oppressed. There's a lot of fellows would oppress us and distress us, but praise God, we can rejoice. The gentle hand of Jesus can take care of that. And then look at the sixth one. His kingdom ruleth over all. And the sixth one in Galatians is goodness. God's rule is one of goodness. God is good. God is good in his purpose. He's good in his plan. He's good in his person. He's good in his passion. He's good in his pardon. And I could go on and on and on. God is good. The day that I met Jesus Christ, I met goodness incarnate. He's good. Christ doesn't do people harm. He does them good. God is a good God. He's a gracious God. He's a loving God. He's a kind God. And we should rejoice with all our hearts in him. How great is his goodness. All under God's sway know that he's good. And you know, there are those that despise the Lord, but the Lord is still good. He's not quick to mark iniquity, for if he was, who would stand? And you who have rejected him for years, he's still a God of goodness. Wonderful. I was thinking of the sparrows today. And it says not one will fall to the ground without the Heavenly Father knowing them. He never forgets the sparrows. And many sparrows are in the world. Millions, billions, trillions. But not one of them falls to the ground without our Heavenly Father registering their fall in his mind and in his heart. Isn't that a tremendous scripture? If God cares for the sparrows, Jesus said, are you not better than many sparrows? Could you get a message anywhere in all the world from any religion like that? This is the true God, Jesus Christ, and his Son, whom he has sent. His kingdom ruleth over all, and it's a kingdom of goodness, and the best has yet to be, and the end is not yet. Praise the Lord. Then when we come to the seventh one, it says, all ye his hosts. There was a young fellow one day and he was sleeping in a walled city and he got up in the morning. And when he got up in the morning, he found that the enemies of his master, Elisha, had come in. The Syrians. And they had come in round and surrounded the city. And he went down and he says, alas, master. What was wrong with that young man? He didn't have the seventh part of the fruit of the Spirit. He had no faith. All ye his hosts, if you had faith, you would see that the host of the Lord encampeth round about those that fear him and delivereth them. And what did Elisha do? He said, open his eyes. And when his eyes were open, faith is always an eye-opener. And when faith opened the eyes of that young man, he saw the chariots of the Lord and the horsemen thereof surrounding Elisha. And naught can harm the Father's child. What perfect safety we have is when faith triumphs.
you know, the most difficult thing I have is to believe. And I wonder at that. God has answered my prayers, particular prayers I have prayed. And God has given me particular answers. And yet when I come against another problem, the greatest difficulty I have is believing. My, if we would only believe, we would see wonders unspeakable. There's a lady, she'll know who I mean, and she always says something to me at the door. And one day she said to me, "I wish I was like you, Mr. Paisley." I said, "Why?" She said, "Because you have faith." I said, "Yes. Would you like to have faith like me?" She said, "Of course I would." Well, I said, "Start reading the Bible. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God." Now, of course, the majority of Christians do not read the Bible today. Would you like that Bible to start speaking about how many times you opened it during the week and read it and took time? Real time? You can't read the Bible, you know, in a hurry. You have to read it slowly. You have to look at it carefully. You have to weigh every letter that's in it. And if we only got faith, we could move mountains. If we only got faith, we could see this country of ours delve in the greatest revival that was ever penned in church history. God wants us to have faith. But we'll not have faith except we do it God's way and not man's way. And that is the way. All ye his hosts. Oh, thank God the hosts of heaven are for the people of God. If God be for you, who can be against you? We've had a lot of people fighting elections. And you know what they are in God's sight? Grasshoppers. Were you ever afraid of a grasshopper? When I was a boy in Palamina and went out into the field and caught a grasshopper, and we used to set it down and we used to tickle it with a straw, and boy, you would see it jumping. You'd see it jumping. Well, we can take the straws of joy and we can tickle the grasshoppers that come out after us, and you'll see them jumping. Some of them have jumped so hard that they've lost their seat, and so they must have jumped very, very well. Indeed. Oh, my friend, let's get the joy of the Lord in our souls. And then, look again. Bless the Lord, all his works. And that is the eighth one in Galatians, is meekness. Do you know there was a man called Moses? He was a type of Christ. He was the meekest man on all the earth. I was thinking about that this afternoon. Do you know Christ, who is pictured in the life of Moses, Christ is more than that. Christ is the meekest man in all the earth and in all the heaven. The meekest man in heaven is our Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what it says about meekness? It says we will inherit the earth. The meek, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The world knows nothing about fighting the Lord's battles. They think of the enemies, and they think of the battle, it's just something that has to do with natural relations. Not at all. There's a great battle going on that has been waged against the throne of God since man's fall by Satan. But the Lord's on the throne. And through meekness, we can win through, following the meek and lowly Jesus. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. And finally, all places. And the word, the corresponding word, ninthly, is temperance. We'll never know all places until we are temperate. Until we refuse to give in and flare up in a spirit of anger or in a spirit of ingratitude. But when we are temperate in all things, there we will see the victory. I trust that tonight we will give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And it's because Psalm 103 is true that we are here tonight after 60 years to say thank God for the defeat of fascism in Europe. And may the fascists that we have in our country be defeated by the same power. And let God have all the glory. For the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land.